Good morning. Good to see you this morning on a good hot Sunday morning. Glad you joined us for our Sunday morning worship. It's good to be back. Been gone the last two Sundays. I know that you have enjoyed the supply preaching of my supply the last couple of weeks, but it's good to be back home. Call your attention to a few announcements that I have. First of all, deacons, we have our monthly deacon meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock, then our evening service at 6 o'clock. Our business meeting this month, because Father's Day next Sunday, by the way, and we'll not meet next Sunday night, but because of Father's Day, our business meeting will be postponed till the last Sunday of this month. Vacation Bible School. It's a big item. It's not in your bulletin, but posters are out. You may have seen some in the foyer as you came in. The theme is God of Wonder, exploring God's amazing creation. And if you haven't been over to the Fellowship Hall yet today, you need to take a trip over there and see the setup for Vacation Bible School over there. It is amazing. The only way I know how to describe it. Go and take a look at it. Exploring God's amazing creation. God of wonder. Truly, our God is a God of wonder. Have any other announcements today? Okay. Let's move on to our prayer list then. Darlene Odom will be having a heart surgery, heart bypass surgery on Monday, June 28th. Do pray for her. It will be at Gulfport Memorial. And pray for Charlie Odom. Charlie is in bad health anyway. And Darlene, up to this point, seems to have been a picture of health, but this thing has came upon her and a major circulation problem, and they're going to be doing an arterial bypass surgery of some sort. Need to talk to them to get more specifics about that. Brother John Dito just handed me a note that he talked to Gene Daniels, and Gene shared with John that Elsie had received some bad test results, and so ask that we pray for them. Pray for Elsie Daniels. Also, pray for Greg Scarborough family. Greg's wife passed away, and do pray for them. John also tells me that Greg has stage 4 cancer, Greg Scarborough. And so a lot of prayer is needed there in that family. Have other requests that you might want to mention this morning?
Special prayer for Nancy.
Okay. For Nancy Barrett. Others? Unspoken requests? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for all you have done for us as we gather this morning to celebrate that by observing the Lord's Supper, remembering your body broken and your blood shed for us. Heavenly Father, we come to worship you this morning and for that purpose and that purpose only, and we just commit our time to you. We pray for these that have been mentioned this morning, unspoken requests, as well as those on the printed prayer list. And Lord, you know their needs and you know the answers and the solutions. And so we simply leave them all with you. Now, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we intercede on the behalf of each one of these requests. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Brother John, come and get us started off with some music.
Jesus Christ, we need you. Save our lives.
prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we do gather to worship you and we praise you because of who you are. We give to you our time now, speak to our hearts and our minds, and draw us closer to you because of having came this morning. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, if you'll take your hymnal and turn to hymn 348. 348, and then let me tell you what we're going to do here. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Then we're going to go right into 349, Oh How He Loves You and Me. You'll turn to 648, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. 648. Now, after we sing this hymn, Louise Barrett's going to do our special music, The Love of God, and we're really looking forward to that. Louise, thank you, and we're glad you're able to come back and sing again. We're thankful for that. So after that, then after Louise sings, we'll have the offertory. After the offertory, Brother Charlie comes with our message. Love divine, all love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and I just thank you for everybody here today, and bless all here, and bless this offering, Father, and we do pray that it will help to reach the gospel to a lost world. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brandy. And thank you, Louise, for that song. Wonderful to hear you sing that again. The love of God, it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. We can't imagine the love of God for us. Title of the message this morning is The Love of Christ. Could just as well be the love of God. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There are two texts, the message this morning. One is 2 Corinthians 5, the other is Romans chapter 5. Be reading both of those in the beginning, and then we will concentrate our attention on Romans 5 at first, and then come back to 2 Corinthians 5. Those of you who have been with us on Sunday nights are probably thinking the preacher has gotten confused with Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, because we've been studying 2 Corinthians on Sunday nights, verse by verse as we go. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 is the verse next on the line that we would pick up on tonight. But it's so very comfortably fit to the observance of the Lord's Supper, I've decided to bring it to the morning service this morning and bring a message about the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, if you will follow in your Bibles. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us a message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, put your bulletin or a marker of some kind in right here in 2 Corinthians 5 and turn to Romans chapter 5. And leave 2 Corinthians 5 alone for a little bit, because we'll be in Romans chapter 5 for a little while. Reading the text there, Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Verse 6 through 11. Romans 5, 6, if you will follow in your Bible. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning and I ask that you would be with me. Help me to say what you have me to say. Your word is very clear. And as we look at it verse by verse, statement by statement, in these two texts, help us to understand and receive and feel the impact of what you are saying to us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today's morning worship service is dedicated to remembering what Christ has done for us, the observance of the Lord's Supper. The Holy Spirit of God inspired the writing of these two texts, one to the church at Corinth and the other to the church in Rome, for that very purpose, to remind them and to tell us and remind us what Christ has done for us. Both of these texts speak clearly about the love of God and about the love of Christ, God's Son. Both texts freely use the word reconcile. You notice that, I'm sure. Reconcile, reconciliation, all through both of those texts. It's vitally important that we understand the full meaning of this word. To reconcile means to make friendly again, to settle a quarrel, to bring back into harmony that which harmony was broken, to settle a quarrel between two individuals. They are reconciled in some way by settling that disagreement, that quarrel, and to be made friendly again when they were separated and not friends, actually enemies, but through reconciliation they are now reconciled and they are friendly with one another again. That's what reconcile means. And in these two texts, it speaks about us being reconciled with God through Christ. Let's look at these verses again here in Romans chapter 5 and just walk through some of them with me. Because of sin, we're all in need of reconciliation. We need to be reconciled. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, the first verse of the text that we read, says that we were powerless. When we were still powerless, we're not able to do anything about this quarrel that we're in with God. Romans 5, 9 speaks of being saved from God's wrath. Look at that. Since we have been justified by the blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And then in verse 10, Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says that we were God's enemies. Look at that verse, verse 10. For if when we were enemies of God, that's a horrible condition to be in. There's no conceivable position that is worse than being enemies of God, subject to the wrath of God. But that's where the human race finds itself, because of sin. But because of the sacrifice and because of the love of God and the love of Christ, by his death, by his blood shed, his body broken, we have been reconciled. Friendship has been restored. Quarrel has been settled. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us that Christ died for the ungodly. The last phrase in verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. In verse 8, Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And verse 9 says that we have been justified by his love. Look at verse 9. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more will we be saved from God's wrath? And chapter 5 and verse 10 says we were reconciled to him, that is to God, through the blood of his Son. Look at verse 10 again. Very clearly says, for we were enemies with God, but we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. and chapter 11, verse 11, chapter 5, verse 11, tells of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. It's perfectly clear according to God's word, is it not? Now leave Romans chapter 5 behind and go back to where you marked 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says about this, the beginning of our text this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19 says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Read it from God's word, if you will, with me. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. It's not my words, that's God's word. The truth of reconciliation is summarized in verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, God made him who had no sin, that is Jesus Christ, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible that that should take place. But that is what God has said can happen. So the most important question for us all, each one of us this morning, is have I been reconciled to God? Or am I still subject to God's wrath and an enemy of God? If you have not been reconciled to God through Christ, that is where you stand today. Settle that issue now, if not sooner. And at this point, let us realize God's plan of salvation. God clearly tells us in his word that by faith, simply trusting God in his own word, in what he has said, in how he has said this reconciliation can take place, by our trusting him, by our faith in God's grace, the gift of grace, his son, crucified, sacrificed on a cross. By our faith in his blood, we can become the righteousness of God and have the ability and the right to stand in the presence of a high and a holy God who by nature, we are subject to his wrath and enemies of his. But simply because his love for us and his gift of grace, and the obedience of the love of Christ, his Son, giving his life as a payment for our sins, we can be reconciled, become friendly with him. We must have a Savior to stand before a high and holy God. God challenges us in his word to make that decision individually. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. We each one must decide to follow that truth or to reject it. This past Monday, I went to the funeral service of my brother-in-law, Paul Shellhorn, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He and my sister raised 5 sons. Then they adopted another one in his young teens and raised him as well. Large family. He's in his upper 80s. All six of those sons married, have families, have children, have grandchildren. The church is a large church in Tulsa. just the family itself would easily fill this whole church. Those who are distant kin, like myself, a brother-in-law and another brother-in-law of mine and a couple of his children, we sat in the back of the rest of the family as the sons and their families filled those first four or five pews, long pews. And as the sons, one by one, stood up and spoke about their father, and then as their pastor got up and brought a short message, a message of salvation and the fact that Paul Shellhorn had accepted Christ according to God's plan, I couldn't help but notice most of those present were shaking their heads, nodding their heads in approval, and saying amen. But there were some who were just sitting stoically. And I know for a fact that some of them don't believe that at all. Well, I thought, what a shame. What a shame. Their refusal to be reconciled to God through Christ. A couple of implications of being reconciled to God. One of those is because we have been reconciled to God through Christ, we Christians have a different view of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 tells us that the love of Christ compels us because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. Compel means to drive us, words in God's word, these words we really need to get a hold of understanding the meaning of. Compel means to drive us, to cause us to yield. You see, this is the motivation for our living of the Christian life. The love of Christ, His sacrifice for us, is the motivation for who we are and what we do. What we choose to do and what we choose not to do. His love compels us to do or compels us not to do, whatever the case is. The love of Christ causes us to yield to Him. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5, if you'll look at that again, says that we are a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We're no longer the same. Paul says, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, or he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. You see, if we accept Christ as our Savior, we literally die to self. And we're given a new life and we live for Christ, yielding in service to Him. We're a new creation. You see, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse last part of verse 14 and 15, says that as Christ died, our old self died also. And Christ lives in us today. A new life. No longer living for Christ. Not living for self, but living for Christ who died for us and was raised again to reconcile us to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16 is an interesting verse. At first, I really thought I wanted to just skip that verse. It's the way it is sometimes about God's word. We find things that we'd just be a lot easier to skip over. An interesting thing also, these commentaries, books or online or whatever, many of these commentators just skip over this stuff that's a little difficult. But it's there, so what do we do with it? Verse 15 says, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 16, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. So you see, we have, as Christians, a different view of life. A different view, a different perspective of everyone, a different perspective of humanity. Everyone is either saved or lost. We no longer see people by race, by the color of their skin, by their nationality, by their abilities, by their physical talents, or anything like that. We now see people as lost or saved. We don't see people from the worldly point of view. And then that went on and said, we even saw Christ from a worldly point of view, but no longer. You see, just as these people I was talking about at the funeral service that were stoic and didn't believe anything of that at all, they were seeing Christ, and they are seeing Christ from a worldly point of view. Just a man, a good man, a teacher, maybe a prophet. But the view of a Christian as we see Christ is totally different. We see Christ as our Savior who gave his life, who sacrificed his all for me, unworthy, without hope. Remember what Romans said? When we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. And so you see, our world view is totally changed. We see people not by how they appear physically or how they perform, by talents and abilities, but we see people as Christians, saved people, saved sinners saved by grace, or lost people rejecting Christ the Savior. And a different perspective, a different view of Christ. No longer just a man and a teacher and a prophet, even a miracle worker, but he's my Savior. He's your Savior, died for you. He who was without sin became sin for me and you, so that I and you can become the righteousness of God. Another implication of reconciliation is that because we have been reconciled, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Since we're seeing people in a different point of view, since we're seeing the whole world not from a worldly point of view, but from a spiritual point of view, our heart's broken because of the condition of most of the world. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, 18, 19, and 20. Verse 18 begins, all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave to us a ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see, we have been given the message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of God. We are members and citizens of the kingdom of God. And we live in the kingdom of this world. And the Bible tells us the prince of this world is the devil himself. Amen. We're living in a foreign land. Y'all hadn't noticed it. We are. But you see, we are ambassadors in this foreign land. Just as we send, as the United States of America, ambassadors to other countries to represent us as this country. Christ is sending us, or has us sent, here in a sinful world as his ambassadors from the kingdom of God into the kingdom of the world to bring the message of reconciliation by our life, how we live, by our words, what we say, by our witness, opportunities we get to share Christ, by our meeting here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, even by these buildings being here, we are ambassadors for Christ. And as so, we implore people on Christ's behalf. That's what we just read here. In verse 20, we're ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. There's another one of those words. Implore. What is that? Implore is to ask or to beg earnestly. That's what the dictionary tells me. To cry out or to weep. That's imploring. I beg you. I implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Because without that, you're his enemy, subject to his wrath. One day that will take place. But the Christian, the believer who has placed their faith and trust in him, who have received the righteousness of God, will be able to stand before this God with a Savior, not on our own merit, but with a Savior, our Savior. You see, we see him different. Not just a man, not just that man named Jesus. You go down south, there are a lot of people named Jesus. Jesus is everywhere. But this Jesus is different. Jesus Cristo, El Salvador, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And so this morning, let us remember the love of Christ as we partake. And let me ask again, why would you willingly, why would anyone willingly continue to be subject to the wrath of God by being his enemy, rejecting Christ, the Savior, the reconciler? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come this morning and we thank you for what you have done for us. Oh, your love could not have been demonstrated any fuller than the way it was. Truly, as one of the verses said that we read a moment ago, some might give their lives for a righteous man, but Christ gave his life for us while we were still sinners. Dear God, help us to truly be your ambassadors in our lives in our church, in your church, that you have been so kind to let us be stewards of not only your church here, Parkinson Baptist Church, but stewards of our lives, the lives and the breath that you have given us. God, we thank you. In Christ, amen. Please stand with me and we'll have an invitation hymn before we go into the serving of the Lord's Supper. If you will come and accept Christ as your Savior this morning, please come as we sing. What's our hymn,
John? 598.
598. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation, God's Word says, again and again, over and over and over.
Can we get to it at this point? God's word tells us that the night before Jesus Christ went to the cross and was crucified, he met with his disciples. And as they met, he took bread and broke it and said to them, "Take and eat. This represents, this is my body, which is broken for you. And as often as you do in the future, remember, my body was broken for you." And so with that in mind, for that purpose, now we take bread and take it in remembrance of the body of Christ broken for us. Gentlemen. Brother John, lead us in a prayer when we worship.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you have shown to us through Jesus Christ coming to live, to die, to rise again, that we might be reconciled with you. We thank you that our Lord gave us this to remind us of his sacrifice. The bread represents his body, shed for us, broken for us. Amen.
Amen. Likewise, at the supper, Christ took the cup and passed it among the disciples. He said, "Drink. This represents, this is my blood, which is shed for you. And through this blood, we seal the new covenant with you."
Blessed be the tie that binds. Stand as we sing. Now that escape. Not the tie, but the tie.